studying God's Word that we might abound in grace. This is Abounding Grace. Join us. Again, welcome to the broadcast. Abounding Grace is the name of the program. Our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, takes us to God's Word each and every day here on Abounding Grace with a few moments of encouragement and exhortation from God's Word. Make it a point to join us today as we study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved, encouraged in Christ, growing in our walk with Him. Here now, from United Reformed Church of Linden, our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, with this edition of Abounding Grace.
Well, we thank you for joining us here today at Abounding Grace on this Friday session. Of course, we take up many subjects of the Christian faith. We've been looking at the past few weeks at the subject of eschatology, which is the study of the last things. And we've looked at the rapture, the teaching today that there will be a pre-tribulational rapture of the church, and we have shown that such teaching is really not in accord with what the Bible outlines for us. If you want access to those, please visit our website at lindenurc.com. They're posted there at the radio link. Last week, Kevin Efflant and I looked at the teaching on the millennium and what does the millennial reign of Jesus Christ look like? When is that in place? Those sort of questions we took up. Today, I'm going to take up the subject of the Antichrist. This, of course, finds a lot of interest today in Christian bookstores. You wouldn't have to thumb through the aisles and books long to find this is a very, very popular subject. And so I want to look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 today and possibly next week, considering who is what is commonly designated the man of sin, the Antichrist. What should we expect? What should we look for? Those sort of questions. Well, already in the first century AD, the church was faced with the question of how to understand the Apostle Paul's description of this coming apostasy and the revealing of this Antichrist or man of lawlessness as outlined in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That is sort of the prime passage, the passage that deals with this subject. Events, of course, would continually surface in history that seem to correspond to what Paul had described concerning a certain man who would appear on the scene of history just prior to Christ's second return and be an Antichrist, lead the entire church and the world into rebellion against Christ and into apostasy. The question, of course, has been asked in every single century by every single Christian, just who is this Antichrist who will appear before Christ returns? Most of us are greatly familiar with the modern-day frenzy about the Antichrist. All kinds of books with the Left Behind series leave us with a great fascination with this figure. This man who will arise on the scene of history just prior to Christ's return and persecute the church. Of course, this is nothing new in history. There have always been those who attempt to play pin the tail on the Antichrist. The Reformers in the Reformed Confessions right out of the Protestant Reformation believed and had labeled the Pope as the Antichrist that Scripture and Paul here in 2 Thessalonians 2 warns about. You can be sure that when Adolf Hitler rose on the scene of history, that by his evil acts, many defined him as the Antichrist that Paul had described. I remember through the 1980s, the Christian community had thought all sorts of people, the Secretary of State, even the President, was the Antichrist. All these Christians labeling people as the Antichrist, warning this could be him. And of course, those dreadful movies were floating around during the 80s that displayed those who were, quote, left behind, is going through terrible torments, the guillotine and everything, by the command of the Antichrist. Now, these, of course, are all examples of how far in the wrong direction we can take these prophecies and what's outlined in the Bible. But I want to spend some time with you maybe in the next few weeks to outline and consider what Paul has to say about the events that precede the second coming and this Antichrist who will show up on the scene of the world. The Scriptures tell us so much about what is going to transpire before the coming day of the Lord. The Lord has not left us in darkness. He has given us literally great sections of His Word to deal with this subject and tell us what will come to pass. So today I want to begin by looking a little bit at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Our time is short, but let me read a little bit of this over the air and then we'll comment and see what Paul is aiming for here. Now, brethren, this is 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin, or lawlessness, translated, is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so till he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, what was Paul reacting to in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians? Well, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he is warning them not to be ignorant about certain truths regarding the second coming. Now, he had already addressed this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 5, where there he gave great detail about what was going to happen when Christ returns. Paul was concerned that the Thessalonians would not be ignorant about these things. The very reason the study of the last things, by the way, is important. It has everything to do with daily life because it's all about our hope. And so he comforted them with the truth that when the Lord Jesus comes, could be any time, he will bring with him those believers who have died. And when the trumpet sounds, their bodies will be raised, and those who remain will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. What he spoke of in 1 Corinthians 15. We shall all be changed in a moment, at the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. These were to be truths of comfort for them. And you remember we looked at the trumpet and the significance of that in light of a wrong teaching on the pre-tribulational rapture of the church. Well, at some point between the writing of the first and second letters, somebody, some group of people, some mockers within the Thessalonian church began to trouble the Thessalonians with the lie that Christ had already come and that they had missed it. That Christ had already performed the great gathering together, as Paul described in the first letter to the Thessalonians. And so, naturally, the Thessalonians were greatly troubled by this. And here we see what a mishandling of a study of the last things can do. Trouble God's people, make them fearful. Truths that are supposed to comfort them can become terrifying. Sort of like the teaching that if we miss the rapture, we'll have to go through the guillotine and things like that. That's not at all what the Bible is teaching. And so Paul, in his second letter, addresses this falsehood. And he writes to them saying, look, I don't want you to become alarmed and troubled, whether by word or by spirit or by letter, as though it's from us. Now, it appears that Paul had no idea who was going around saying this, but he knows about it. And he says, look, it's not from us, the apostles, those who have been given this authority by God. And so Paul, knowing the problem in Thessalonica, writes to them. And in chapter 1, he says, we boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and your faith in all of your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is token evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. Paul says, look, your afflictions are token that you belong to Christ. But now with this present distress, Paul's going to reveal the other truth about the second coming. In the first letter, he had discussed what would happen to believers when Christ returns. They would be gathered together. They would meet the Lord in the air. But now he reveals what's going to happen to unbelievers, those who are presently troubling them with falsehood. And so what Paul does on the flip side of the coin here says that the day of the Lord will bring judgment against these troublers, these persecutors, O Thessalonians, who are persecuting you. Now, they didn't have to worry then about missing Christ's coming or being, quote, left behind, because it's one major event, one second coming in which nobody will be left behind. You'll never find the idea of a secret rapture of the church in Scripture, because when Christ is revealed from heaven, every eye will see him. The trumpet will blast, and he will be glorified in his saints, and at that time render judgment on those who do not believe. And this is how Paul was assuring the Thessalonians that the day could not have come. And that's what he says in verse 1. Do not be troubled about these things, my brethren. Do not be shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Somebody had said, Christ has already come and you missed it. And so Paul is assuring them they couldn't have missed it, because all the final judgment has not taken place yet. All of your persecutors have not been judged. So this is what leads us into this grand discussion of what's going to happen before his second coming. And so he says there, let no one deceive you by any means. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And so first you have this grand apostasy that's going to take place in the church. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that's called God or that's worship, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And so he speaks here of these two things that must happen coincidentally before the second coming. He speaks of a rebellion. The Greek word is apostasia, which we label as the apostasy. And then he speaks that there will be a visible manifestation of this man of lawlessness, this antichrist figure that will appear before Christ returns and deceive many. Since our time is very short, we're running out of time here, I want to leave you with a few things to think about today, and we'll come back to this next Friday. 2 Thessalonians 2 has been regarded as Paul's mini-apocalypse, meaning that like the book of Revelation, it's full of highly symbolic and figurative language. So what we need to do is let Scripture define its own terms. And Paul's using this language and events, putting them together of the Old and the New Testament to describe this individual. And John, 1 John will say that, little children, it is the last hour. As you've heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come by which we know it is the last hour. And in chapter 4, he wrote, this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming. Now listen to this. And is already in the world. So the spirit of, or the stuff of the Antichrist, it's already here. So we're going to look more at that next week. We're going to go back and look at the Old Testament and look at all these different figures of Antichrist to help us gain a better understanding of what we can expect in light of what Paul describes here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But we need to remember, my friends, the Bible never calls us to look for the Antichrist, but rather Jesus Christ coming on the clouds of heaven. It is then that you will seek to be blameless as you wait for the coming of your Lord.
And with that, we come to the end of our time today here on Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden with our teacher and pastor, Pastor Chris Gordon. If you have questions, comments, maybe a prayer request, maybe today's broadcast has sparked a couple of thoughts in your mind you just can't get away from and you'd like someone to talk with, feel free to call or write to us. Our phone number is 360-318-0429. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429, or stop by our website, lindenurc.com, and drop us an email. While you're there, pay us a visit and check the website out. We've got a lot of information about who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities here at United Reformed Church of Linden. Again, that's lindenurc.com. If you're writing to us, the address is 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington, 98264 is the zip code. And again, the phone number, 360-318-0429. If you would like to join us for worship, we do meet at 8650 Benson Road, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Sundays. We'd love to have you join us. In fact, if you do, would you let one of the ushers know you were invited by the radio broadcast? That would encourage us a great deal. And then we trust we'll see you again next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.